listening to the Neshot Hamayim podcast, where I talk about birth, life, nature, and the divine wisdom we can gain through it all. I'm Chaya, your hostess. Blessed is Adonai, ruler of the universe, who brought us to this place and time for this purpose.
Hello, everyone. I have tried probably two or three times at this point to record this. And I've tried on different days, and I realized that my mind is just not into creating this kind of content right now. I am happily deep into creating a big something. And since I can't remember whether I've even hinted at it or not, I will keep it vague, but I'm working on a big project that I'm very excited about, very excited to release. And so my mind is just like in that. And anything that comes to mind to talk about are things that I'm planning on talking about for this project. And I don't necessarily want to accidentally use up my creative juices or say something, you know, better here, and then not, and then have something kind of like a lesser version or something later on. I don't know if that's really a thing, but that's just one of my, I don't know, insecurities, one of my superstitions, personal superstitions. So I just would rather save all of the thoughts and words and things on some of those other topics, save them for this project. So then what am I going to talk about? Well, since, again, I have tried, and I even have notes, I have topics that, like, hey, maybe some point you want to talk about this. None of them are really speaking to me. None of them are really jumping out. And honestly, the only thing that's in my head right now is what happened in my home just about 30 minutes ago with my three-year-old. And right now I'm recording in my usual spot, my husband's closet. And it's 2 o'clock, and I just barely finished eating like 10 minutes ago, eating my lunch. And it's not that, though I definitely have done this before, it's not that I did not put my lunch together until just now. It's that I actually had it ready and it was a little bit late. I was probably going to eat around 1-ish. And, but I had it going, I had it ready, and I was just sitting down to eat it. And I realized that my 3-year-old had pooped in his underwear again. And he is potty trained. I think it's just regression a little bit. And he's just had a lot of attitude lately. So I'm not really sure why. I think it's just a phase. And so that has gone into how he deals with his bathroom needs. And it has looked like him going into the bathroom and closing the door, maybe even announcing that I need to go potty. And then he'll go in there and basically go through all the motions, except he will not sit on the toilet and will just stand there and poop in his chonies instead. We call them chonies. I was trying to say underwear, but we're Mexican in this house, so it's chonies. But anyway, So normally it's, you know, that's not okay. And he knows now that he's like potty trained. And again, this has been a kind of a thing that he's been doing for most of this week so far. So it's not the first time that he's been doing this or he's done this, you know, recently, blah, blah, blah. So I was dealing with it. I let him know that's not okay, blah, blah, blah. I just accept that I'm going to have to clean him up. And blah-dy, blah-dy, blah. I'll spare you all the rest of the details. But basically, while I was in the midst of that, he did something else, and I just totally lost my cool. And to provide a little more context, my baby, my six-month-old, had been screaming and crying. His brothers were trying desperately to entertain him, but I was trying to quickly get my lunch done because I knew that he was screaming, crying because he wanted to nurse and fall asleep. And I can't always get, like, put him down without him crying some more. And I knew that if I basically got nap trapped, is what I've heard people call it. If I got nap trapped, then I was not going to get to eat my lunch until, like, well, just way later. And I don't know how many times I have to learn the lesson of the absolute necessity of taking care of myself that it is. That was horrible grammar. I apologize for all the grammar Nazis out there. But I have learned, and I'm working really hard on taking care of myself. I have to eat. I have to eat. And I am nursing a baby. I absolutely have to eat. So I was trying to be quick with my lunch. He's screaming and crying, and that just stresses me out because that's how we're built. It is by design something that stresses us out. And so I'm stressing. I'm trying to just, like, get the things done. He's crying. I haven't eaten yet. I need to eat. I'm about to eat. Then I need to clean up my poopy child. And it's, you know, he's old enough that it's quite a big mess at this point. You know, it's not just like a quick diaper change situation anymore. So it was going to be a whole thing. Okay, put my lunch down. I haven't even taken a bite of it yet. Cleaning him up. And then yet another thing happened that was going to mean another, like, minimum, you know, well, absolute minimum, maybe 5 minutes cleanup, but more like 10 minutes because the thought of there being bodily fluids all over the place grosses me out, and it's not fair to his brothers who also use that bathroom. Anyway, there was a big mess, so it added more time to the cleanup time, and I just lost my cool, and I was yelling, and I'm being scary and big and scary, and I put him in the bathtub, and I probably was a little more rough than, well, I don't want to excuse myself. I was a little more rough than I would have been normally because I was so upset. And that was even more scary, you know, and I might cry recording this. I am sure why I'm sharing this. This is just a peek into deep personal things. And anyway, so then he starts crying, and he's crying in a certain way that reminds me, that instantly takes me back to my childhood. Yep, I'm going to cry. It takes me back to my childhood when my parents would react a certain way and it would be scary. And I remember, I mean, I probably was pretty little. I probably was little like how he is, you know, 3 years old or whatever. But I remember there would be times when I would be in trouble and I would need to cry so badly, but I felt like I wasn't allowed to cry. And it just creates this, you know, this kind of cry. And he doesn't normally cry like that. So it just was this combination. Anyway, it sent me back to my childhood, and it instantly, yep. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to hold it together so I can share this because I feel like it's important. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. It broke my heart that I made him cry like that. and it broke my heart that I was scary. And, you know, mom guilt is serious, you know. I don't have to explain that to other moms out there or other parents, other fathers, even if there's any fathers listening. The parent guilt, but definitely, you know, I am familiar with mom guilt. It sucks. So I know we can be harder on ourselves than, you know, I wouldn't be judging someone else as hard as I judge myself when it comes to these sort of failures. But, it just broke my heart. And I just stood there and I looked at him and I walked away for a minute and I took a deep breath and I walked back and invited him to take deep breaths with me. I don't know how many deep breaths we took, but together we were doing that. And I just kept going. We just kept going until I noticed that he seemed to be more relaxed and I definitely felt better. And then I just apologized. And that's a valuable lesson that it's my one of my parenting, you know, things that I'm proud of myself for is that I am not afraid to apologize to my kids. And sorry, parents, if you're listening, I love you so much, but it was really hard having parents who never effing apologized for anything. Even when it was clear that they felt they had done something wrong or clear that they felt badly about whatever, they never apologized. And, that was really hard. So that's something that I bring into my parenting is that when I screw up, when I really just, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big failure. When I feel like, yeah, I was in the wrong, I don't hesitate to apologize and to let them know it was my issue. You did nothing wrong. I was feeling this way and this way, and I took it out on you, or I, you know, snapped, or I was not feeling ready to, you know, I don't know, field all of those questions or whatever, you know. It doesn't have to be something major. And anyway, why am I sharing this with you guys? I don't entirely know, but I think what I'm trying to convey is that mothering is not easy and parenting is not easy, and trying to discipline and raise children and, you know, navigate their own paths and navigate their own personalities and, you know, raise a child in the way they should go, is not easy. And it is definitely not easy when it feels like so many tactics and methods, and parenting styles that I was raised with or that I'm most familiar with, I don't necessarily want to pass those on to my kids. I feel like I'm breaking a generational curse, and I know that so many people feel that way. So many people in my generation feel like, or we call ourselves, you know, the cycle breakers. And it's so true. It's so true, and it is so hard. It is so hard. Even if you have supportive parents that are, you know, available emotionally, just literally to answer the phone and actually hear what is being said and whatever, it's still hard. When you don't have those types of relationships, it's even harder because I kind of used this analogy recently, but it's like raising our children well, in loving, compassionate, and understanding in wise ways. I feel like that did exist once upon a time, but it's so old and far gone in many ways, at least at large, you know. And I guess it also does depend on, you know, cultural differences and things like that. But basically it's like this way of doing things has been abandoned for so long that the path there is overgrown and it's hidden in the jungle, and it's hard to find. And many of us are trying to get there again. We know it's there. We know it's there somewhere, and there's always going to be our own version of it because we're in a whole new world than, you know, than the world was, how the world was several generations back. But we're trying to find this framework, and it's hard work. We're in many ways just blazing a new trail, and maybe we'll find a pebble or a stone that's familiar, or, you know, remnants of a path once upon a time, but it's still, again, it's been overgrown and abandoned for so long that we still have to get our machetes and hack away to find our path. And again, it's so hard. It's so hard. And there's no like easier way to do it with the circumstances that many of us are in. Like, we can have wonderful friends. We can have wonderful people in our lives. Like, we can have the best cheerleaders, you know, on the planet. They're ready to help us and stuff like that. But it's still us. It's still our responsibility as the parents to figure out what's best for our family. And, oh man, oh my gosh, we know this already, but I'm going to say it out loud. Kids are a mirror. They are a mirror for us. They are their own people, but they hold up a mirror to us. And I have seen my weak spots, my weaknesses. I have seen some of my strengths, and I don't feel terrible about all of my parenting decisions and tactics and things like that. But I really struggle with the when things are sort of compounding over, you know, on top of me, and I'm trying to do good by me. I'm trying to feed myself, for example. And there's a lot to that in itself, just my personal stuff when it comes to food and eating and, my stress relationship, how it's tied in with food and things like that. So I'm trying to do better in so many of these very important ways. I think I've finally learned just how tied together my body is with my baby who's nursing, my newborn, basically, you know, my infant. We are one in almost every single way. And I knew that conceptually, and I knew it on some levels, but I really learned that this year. So far, I have learned just how thorough that statement is. Just how thorough that relationship is. So I absolutely cannot not feed myself. And it gets so hard when it seems like the entire world is demanding my attention and my time, and I haven't had a chance yet to eat. Or I made it and it's there and it's waiting for me and I am trying to eat, you know. But none of that is to excuse myself. because one of the things that I value greatly is breaths, breathing. It's free. We can do it anytime, and it takes like literally 2 seconds. Breathe in for 1 full second, breathe out for 1 full second, and instantly we have a remedy, a powerful, powerful remedy for so many things. So I have no excuses. It's just a matter of really getting into that practice and that habit. And I think that that's maybe the way forward. And the solution to this problem or this challenge that I have presented here in this solo cast, the way forward is to create these good habits, and we can't take things away. This whole concept of like even with diet culture, like it's the most glaring there, I think. So when you're trying to eat healthier and you just take foods away, it's not sustainable. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. Eventually you're going to relapse or whatever the word is that I'm looking for. And you're going to go back to eating the things. All you did was take stuff away from yourself. No, you have to fill the vacuum. You have to replace the things instead of eating, I don't know. I love ice cream. Let's just pick on ice cream. Everybody picks on ice cream. Instead of eating ice cream after dinner, you have a nice homemade frozen yogurt. You made the yogurt. You stuck it in the freezer. Maybe you put some berries in it or something. And you eat that instead. Or, you know, instead of trying to replace your soda or whatever with just water, even though that is replacing, that's not just taking something away. You have water with a dash of salt, and you have it with some lemon or maybe even tea. You make a tea instead. You make some kind of tea with a little bit of honey. And there you go. So now you're not just creating a void and a vacuum. You're actually filling the unhealthy space with healthy things. So that same concept can be applied with habits. And it pretty much can be applied anywhere, but especially with habits. So if you are trying to correct a behavior in yourself or in anyone else for that matter, it is not going to be effective to just be like, stop doing that. What you need, what is effective is to yes something, is to create an action, not an inaction. So like, for example, when I tell my boys, when I need them to stop running around the house because they're going to wake the baby up or something like that, I don't say, stop running. Well, sometimes I do, but then I realize, well, this is my fault. So if they don't listen, instead of saying, stop running, I say, walk quietly. I say, go play in your room or something like that. I say, you know, I give them a do. I give them something to do, not a don't. Not a know this or whatever. And another example is like when it's time, so they get to watch cartoons in the morning. I know, parents. My parents rolling their eyes probably. No, probably not. I don't know. But who cares? Well, I love you, parents. Anyway, okay. So instead of being like, oh, it's time to be done. Like we're done. Turn the TV off. We're done with TV. I say, well, sometimes I'll say it's time to be done just because it's like, it's kind of a, like now is the time for something else, you know, it's time to be done. But I usually say it's time to be done. It's time for this over here. So I'll usually say, when it is time to turn cartoons off or whatever, I'll say, okay, it's time to put music on. it's time to listen to music. It's time to get dressed and, you know, start the day or whatever. So it's not what we're not focusing on what we're leaving behind, but we're focusing on what is the next task at hand, right? So anyway, it's all of that to say, instead of me telling myself, don't get mad, don't yell, don't lose your crap, I should say to myself, take a deep breath. Pause and take a breath, or walk away and take a breath, or go outside for a second, something like that. Because so much of that, I mean, and let's even like look into those actions themselves for like anger management. Okay, something's really frustrating and my blood sugar is low, and you know, I'm dealing with this like overwhelm and this stress and noise and all of this stuff, right? So if I walk away, especially if I walk outside, I'm moving my body, I'm going outside, so I'm changing my environment. I'm going outside, so I'm getting fresh air. It doesn't matter if it's freezing cold out there. And actually, I would say it's probably even better if it is, because then it's a little bit of a whoo, you know, there's science behind that. I can't remember any of it right now, but there's, you know, those health benefits. So I'm moving my body. I'm changing my environment. I'm getting fresh air, ideally sunlight. I'm getting nature sounds. Maybe I'm touching the ground. Maybe I'm not, but either way, I'm becoming more connected with nature. And usually when I step outside, I take a deep breath, even if I wasn't necessarily intending to. And I find that that's kind of the case for most people. So then we're getting, you know, the deep breath benefits and all this nervous system regulation stuff that comes from that. And it's the simple act of walking outside for a second and taking a deep breath. I mean, how long does that actually take? Like less than 5 minutes, and it can make a world of a difference. So, man. Anyway, I hope something was learned from this. I hope that I don't even know. Like, may God keep me humble. And I hope this is the last time that I have to break my own heart for breaking my son's heart. Yeah. Mothering's hard, but it's so valuable. And it's times like these, lessons like these, that it's the friction that helps us polish ourselves, you know. If there wasn't something gritty there that needed to be smoothed out and polished down in myself, then it wouldn't be so hard, and, you know, I wouldn't be having these problems. But the way to polish a gem is you put it in a tumbler with a bunch of rocks, and they bang up against each other over and over and over again till all the gritty stuff is gone. And that's how you get these beautiful polished gems. And ain't that just real life for you right there?
Thanks for joining me here. Remember to subscribe, write a review, and check out the show notes for other ways to connect. Nothing on this podcast is medical or legal advice. By engaging with this content, you agree to take full responsibility for your own experiences. Everything in this podcast is property of Prudence Ministries, a private healing association.